Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And I was looking at some things here about how to connect and all. If you're using the YouTube at this time, you have to go to videos and you'll see it live, and you click live and it will come up okay. On your Dispensational Bible Church Facebook page, it should be live right now. Also, on their website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, it should be live there also. So, anyway, if you go to those things, we are excited that you are joining us, whether it's here live or through the platforms that we have available through YouTube channel, through Facebook live page, even on the Boxcast app that you can download on your phone, on your Roku, on your Apple TV, and you click that and look for Dispensational Bible Church, and you will see us, and we'll be live there, or you can listen to it later on. Some prayer requests and praise items. There's a few people that are sick at this time, flu-like symptoms, COVID, Chinese virus, that type of thing. Keep those people in thought and mind, because it is affecting our older people more so than our younger people. And we know that you have to do the right thing. So with that being said, keep them in thought and prayer. Keep our country in thought and prayer, that the Lord knows that we need thought and prayer. And, you know, there's a lot of conversations out there about God's not blessing America no more, and America's not being blessed, blah, blah, blah. You know, God don't have a respecter of persons, and he's not dealing with the nations. He's dealing with individuals like you and I. And we understand the Word of God, and when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you can understand what God is doing out in this world. It is a sin-cursed world out there. We still have diseases. We still have thorns. We still have, you know, ungodly stuff going on. That's not going to change till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back over here. And our bodies are vile, and our body is not going to be changed till he takes us out of here. So, with that being said, you have to take care of your body. A couple people showed a video about this old man. He's living by himself, and it's kind of sad. It makes you teary-eyed. So if you see me, you know, teary-eyed, that, you know, you sometimes you can relate to people. He's living by himself. He may be 70, 75 years old, and he brings out a picture, and anyway, he brings out a picture, and he wants to be able to lift his little granddaughter up. That's what the gist of. He remember lifting his daughter up, you know, put the crown on the tree. So he started lifting a kettlebell and stuff, and he's lifting the kettlebell, and he's like this, and he drops it, and he's getting better and better every day. And when you do CrossFit, there's two ways you lift a kettlebell. One, when you bring it this high, it's called a Russian kettlebell swing. When you lift it above your head, it's American. So I'm watching him, he's doing this. I'm like, oh man. So, but when he gets his granddaughter lifting up, he's listening over his head. So he does the full swing that way. But with that being said, you have to take care of your bodies. You have to be able to move and be able to just have the Word of God inside of you and be mobile. You know, I know this time people can't go to church. You know, people can't do this. You still have to be mobile. And I am thankful that we are able to get this message out no matter where we're at. You know, you're not going to bound the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God is sure, and it's pure, and it's truth. And all through the ages, people's been trying to tear this book up, destroy it, but we, as members of the body of Christ, will preserve this word, and it will go on forever. So that's one good thing. You know, we can say, well, what's going on? We can meet anywhere. And I would encourage you to do that. So keep our prayer requests and thought and prayer. Keep the ministry in thought and prayer. We do have some, this box cast is not free. If you're enjoying it and you're being fed, if you want to contribute to it, you can go to our website, or you can, I think you can on the Boxcast app, or just write us or email us, if you want to help support this. We do support Grace School of Bible each month, so the bills are going out that way, and we have tracks and stuff like that. So hopefully we will see a boost in attendance. We'll see a boost in people wanting to know the Word of God. There are people still out there searching and wanting to know. We still have 7-8 days worth of fall left. That's a plus. So I know winter time's coming. We're in Ohio, and it gets gray, and it gets dark. I go to work very, very early, and it's dark when I go to work. It's dark when I get home, and it's just like, where's the light at? Well, you know we have light in the gospel, the glorious gospel, the grace of God. So just keep that in thought and prayer. Let's go to the Word of God in prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the many things and the many blessings that you have given us already in heavenly places. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're following along, we're in Lesson 9, and we're going through, we're using this curriculum, through the Bible in 7 hours, and this is Lesson 9, so, you know, if you think about we've been spending an hour with you, so that's 9 hours, so I don't want to make a liar out of the book. It's just the fact we're taking our time, and we're building on the foundation and building a foundation through the Bible. And we're using the timeline and using the Word of God, the King James Bible, for the authorized version for the English-speaking people, and without error, infallible. And we're using the timeline. That's what this is up here. So the top line up here is Israel. The bottom line here is Gentile. And we're in this time period right here about the kingdom at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I'm closing up the chart, the timeline. And this is your Bible and prophecy, okay? This is what, from Abraham all the way over here, this is what the promises that they was looking for in your Bible. And it's a wonderful thing to know when you look at the Word of God rightly divided and dispensationally discerning it, okay? You have to look at the Word of God dispensationally. God is a dispensationalist. And we already looked at that before. God does not change yesterday, today, forever. He's the same. But the way he dealt with man is different, okay? The way he dealt with Adam, the way he dealt with Abraham, the way he dealt with Moses, the way he dealt with Noah, the way he dealt with Paul, okay? It's the way he's dealing. He's dispensing it out. And this is the dispensation law that we're talking about here. There's a dispensation of kingdom over here. There's a dispensation of grace in which we live in today. But we left off last time. Last lesson, we was in Matthew. Okay, and we talked about the four gospels and the four faces and the four branches and the four this and four that. But Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as the king. And Matthew places the genealogy at the very beginning, because it's important to establish his royal rights through David, son of Abraham, and the rights to the throne that he's going to have. And his purpose is to demonstrate that the covenants made with Abraham and David are vested in Jesus Christ. That's who it's vested in. It's through him that it's going to be given to. And mind you, this is a kingdom on earth, okay? We are not focused in the heavenly places like Paul talks about in the time. We're going to get there eventually, but this is just something else. So we went through Matthew last lesson, but this time we're going through Luke. And Luke Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, establish his full human rights and natural lineage. If you look at Luke chapter 3, verse 38, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. See, what Luke does, he traces his genealogy back to Adam. Matthew was back to David and Abraham. But this is back to Adam. It goes back further, okay? Verse 31 says, which was the son of Mela, which was the son of Minna, which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So he's tracing, Luke will trace his bloodline and his genealogy, if you will, not his bloodline, but his genealogy through Nathan. And this solves the problem that we looked at in Matthew 1:11. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. I need to slow down just a little bit. I get excited, just like you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11 says, "And Joaz begat Jochonas and his brethren at the time they was carried away to Babylon." Okay, this is something here that you see in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses, well, go to Jeremiah chapter 22. There's some names in the Bible I've been trying to pronounce. You guys are scholars. You guys are Bible pronunciations, dictionaries. You can help me with these words. So if I stop short of pronouncing a word, it's not that I have a different Bible. It's that I just can't pronounce the words. I do apologize. I know you love me just the same. Jeremiah chapter 22. I love you just the same too. Matthew 22, verse 24 says, "As I live, saith the Lord, though Conah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with a signet upon my right hand, yet will I pluck thee thence." Verse 30. "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that should not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more of Judah." Here is the thing here that through the seed line, through the throne, God stops this guy. So he won't have any seed line or somebody sitting on a throne. So Psalms 132 verse 11 is safe when he says this. Now, this is Mary's genealogy. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 23. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And what you have to do here is look at verse chapter 1, verse 30. What does he mean by this? Chapter 1, verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall there be no end." Verse 34. "Then saith Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So here's a genealogy is going through Mary. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, if you want to know about a seed of a woman. Okay? By the way, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is also known as the gospel of God. The good news that God was going to send a redeemer, okay, that caused man to fall, to redeem mankind. And people get caught up with this Church of God out here lately about Church of God, Church of God. Listen, how do you get in the Church of God? Church of God is the big church of God in heaven and earth, okay? How do you get in that? You believe the gospel of God. Peter taught it, Paul taught it, okay? That's the gospel, the good news. Let's keep going. Go to Numbers chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26. We're looking at the genealogy in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was doing here. Numbers chapter 26, and we're in Luke, so Luke portrays Jesus as a man, right? Okay, Numbers 26, verse 33. And here's a word I've been trying to pronounce, so if I don't pronounce it to your satisfaction, then, you know, I know you're... And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons, but daughters, and the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla, Noah, Hogleg, Mecca, and Tarza. I know I butchered that, so I'm just going to carry on. Okay, so they had no what? Sons. Chapter 27, verse 1 through 11. I'm not going to read all that to you, but if you want to look at some highlights here, our father died, verse 3, in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the of the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. And what shall we, why should the name of our father be done away with from among his family because he had no son? Give us, therefore, and possess among our brethren of the father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And you read on down through there, he basically says this, verse 8. And thou shalt speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he had no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he has no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto the father's brethren. And if a father had no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment as the Lord commandment. So here, chapter 36, verses 2 through 11, basically say the same thing, that the daughters of Zelophehad, inheritance goes through the daughters if there's no son available. And a son-in-law is adopted by the father of the bride. Now, Luke places it. You got that? So that's why Mary's in the genealogy. Okay? If I'm not mistaken, an Israelite, a Jew, would not recognize a woman in inheritance, in the lineage. But here's a good thing that you can bring this forth, right? So Luke, go back to chapter Luke, Matthew, Mark. We're talking about the genealogy. Luke, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, Luke places it after his baptism at the beginning of his ministry. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And he is first concerned with his birth and his growth into manhood, and etc. Luke wants us to show, he wants to show him overflowing to all mankind and the larger purpose to Israel's kingdom. What is Israel supposed to do? Go to themselves and then go out into the world. Now, we're finished with Luke. Mark. Mark has no genealogy because Mark portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. And if you think about it, who cares about a servant? They didn't care about a servant. Serve me, serve me, serve me. They didn't care where they came from. Okay? John, there's no genealogy because he traces it back to from the everlasting. John chapter 8, verse 58. He's God. Okay? Everybody always asks, well, who was there before God? No, it was God. God is God. He was there from the beginning. Now, second thing we're looking at in the genealogy or this area with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is this conception. Matthew focuses on Joseph, doesn't he? The son of David. Mark omits that. Don't even mention it. Luke focuses on Mary. Why? She's the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. John omits, but he declares him the Word made flesh. Got it? Now, look at his birth. His birth. Matthew focuses on Herod, Jerusalem, the king of Jews, the star, the wise men, their gifts, etc., etc., etc. Kingdom stuff. Luke focuses on Caesar, doesn't he? All the world, all the people, and a savior. So we got all that covered. Now, the ministry of John the Baptist. Had a good chat with a guy just yesterday, and had some, you know, talking about baptism and all that stuff. Had a good time walking through the Bible a little bit, but it's a lot to go through the Bible about baptism. So Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and I know if you want to get a fight going, you can get a Baptist, Presbyterian, and Catholic in the same room talk about baptism. You're going to get a fight going, okay? Baptism does not always mean water, period. It means placed into, identified with. Matthew chapter 3, ministry of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, I will say this shortly. I'll keep it short, if you will. What I believe in the Bible is to be truth, okay? And I get phone calls, people want to know about our church, people want to, then when you mention, well, was the Old Testament people over here saved by grace through faith alone and with no works? And when I share some things with them, they really don't, seem like they really don't care. They just want to say to me that you're wrong, you need to change your doctrine, okay? I used to get offended with that, but nothing surprises me these days. So with what I believe in the Bible be truth, that's me with God's Word. I can encourage you to do the same. Don't get caught up with pride. Don't get caught up with man-made doctrines out there. Don't get caught up with following guys, okay? You yourself have to stand in front of God Almighty alone, okay? And you're going to stand in front of Him, not with, when the fear and trembling, it's not that I'm going to go to hell. If you're saved, you're going to still stand in front of God, okay? You have to answer every man. You have to answer the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I, what I believe to be truth in the Word of God, I'm not going to err from it, okay? My job and my position is to teach what the Word says. And hopefully that will get inside of you and make a difference with you. So John the Baptist, I said that because I've had several phone calls in the last several weeks and people's trying to change my position, and they've been trying to change that for 20-something years. And I'm not going to change. This is truth. I want to be right with God. That's period. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet of Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And this same John had his raiment of camel hair, and a leather girdle among his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around and about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit meeks of repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones to rise up children of Abraham. And now, as the axe is laid upon the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Verse 1 through 7, I read a little bit more of what it's supposed to be, identified simply as a voice preaching a national opportunity of repentance. That's what John the Baptist was, a man sent from God, the Father, sent him, and he's a voice out there amongst Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions, a voice of preaching a national opportunity of repentance. Go to Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, notice verse 8 omits the fire baptism, as in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water, but the one comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Luke chapter 3, verse 16. For judgment is not a servant's task. You got that? A servant ain't going to judge. Well, shouldn't judge you. He's there to serve. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Through 6. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Tyrannus and Lyanus, and tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crook shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of what? God. Now Luke is identifying as preaching the remission of sins, a more personal need. Notice how verse 6 includes the extended quote from Isaiah 40 that includes all flesh. John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. Verse 15. John bared witness of him and cried, saying that he was, this was he of whom I spake. He that come after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness hath all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now they're talking about John the Baptist. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. We're going to read down to verse 34, okay? Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptize thou then, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, neither of that prophet? John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He is it who is coming after me, preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So he's outside of Jerusalem, by the way. He's not downtown Jerusalem bellying up with all the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders. He's outside. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Now who sent him? God the Father. The same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, And I saw and bear that record that he is the Son of God. Now, John, with all what we just said, identifies the Messiah to Israel as him who is before me. That's what John does. John portrays Jesus Christ as God. So next we look at the temptations of the four Gospels. The temptations. Matthew chapter 4. When you look at the temptations, verse 3 talks about command these stones be made to bread. And then he displays about throw yourself down. The angel's going to take care of you. Then he talks about the kingdom. So there's a dispensation order there. Bread displays kingdom. Okay? Bread displays kingdom. All that temptations that Satan is doing to the Lord Jesus Christ in that, we can read it if you want to, but I suggest you look at it, will take place over in Revelation chapter 12, and it comes to fruition, okay? Mark omits the details, except about the wild beast being present, and simply reports his victory. If you want to look at that, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So he omits all that details of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 that way, if I'm not mistaken. After he was baptized with John, he goes into the wilderness. Luke follows the human order of John chapter 1, verse 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, talks about the lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride. That's in Genesis chapter 3. I might look at that for a minute, because some of you may not make that connection. Luke chapter 4. We got some time. Okay, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, it's a dispensational issue here. Jesus Christ is standing, it is written. He says, he answers Satan, "Get behind me, Satan, it is written," that type of thing. But Matthew 4, if you really want to look at, which I should have looked at before, the temptation. Well, when you look at of Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Now, bread, he's talking about food. Okay? Genesis chapter 3, pleasant to the eyes. Okay? Go to Genesis chapter 3 and get Genesis chapter 3 and 1 John chapter. And you can reference with 1 John chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This is when they're denying God, okay? When you think about verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God not said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" First thing he does, he's questioning them, right? And yea, God said it. He did say it. Okay? What they do is cast doubt. People cast doubt on you and the Word of God today. Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." What she did is left out freely. "But of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye eat touch it, lest you die." She adds to the word here, "ye shall," and what she does in "lest she die." You know, not "you're going surely die," "lest you die." So she waters that down. Then verse 4, "And the serpent said unto," we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Just totally denies it. So when you get down to verse 6, "And the woman... And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree was and the tree to be desired to one make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat." That flesh, that food, that I told you, John chapter 2, 1 John, Hebrews, James, John, 1 John, Peter, John. Look at verse 15 and 16. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, And the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. Those three things is what we're talking about in Genesis chapter 3. The lust of the flesh is the food. The lust of the eyes is the pleasant. And the pride of life is the wise. And that's what Luke was showing here, is the fact that the human order, okay, Luke chapter 4, the human order, you like things, you look at things, you want. That's what the human flesh does. And John has no temptation record for the reason stated in James chapter 1, verse 3. What does James chapter 1, verse 3 say? James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he was tempted, I am tempted of God. That's why he don't have no record of being tempted for reasons. Now, the opening of Christ's ministries. We're right here. Jesus Christ, after John the Baptist, Jesus Christ picks up the mantle, if you will, and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's at the kingdom. This is where we're at. We're looking at the kingdom of hand. The kingdom was prophesied over here. The kingdom's at hand here. We're going to look at the kingdom offered here. Then it's kingdom established over here. You notice the body of Christ is not in there. The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to Israel only. We've been looking at that. Matthew. Matthew begins to focus on the king and his credentials. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17, this is after he's tempted and all. Look at this. Matthew chapter 4, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. That's the first recorded miracles you see him healing a leper with a touch, which would have defiled, which would have defiled another. What does chapter 8 verses 1 through 4 say? Chapter 8, 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, chapter 8, Matthew, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offered the gift of Moses command for the testimonies unto them. He healed that guy straightway immediately. No 14 doctor visits and all that stuff. Immediately. That's the God I serve. Immediately. But he tells him no man, go straight to the high priest. So who is Jesus Christ working through what Moses established over there? Mark begins with a whirlwind of activities. Go to book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Verse 21. And there went into Caprona, and straightway, on the Sabbath day, he entered the synagogue and taught. Verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions around about. 31. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto him. Verse 34. And he healed many that were sick and divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Verse 39. And he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Verse 42. And soon he had and as soon as he had spoken, immediately leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So you think about that. His first recorded miracles, a manifestation of his powers, from chapter 1, verse 21 down to 31. Verse 31. Chapter 1, verse 21 through 31. And it was straightway and immediately. And he records those. And the manifestation, what's that? That's the God I serve, people. I know what many of you might be thinking right now. Well, God can still do that. Well, help me. We have a pandemic here, supposedly. And it's got people in fear. And it's got people all upset. And this Chinese virus is killing people. Nursing home people that they can't get out. And it attacks your lungs, respiratory, like a flu, emphysema. Help us here, people. Luke uses the opportunity to remind his readers that Gentiles were also to have a place in the kingdom. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 25. Verse 25. But I tell you of truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months with great famine and throughout all the land. But until none of them was Elias sent, saved unto Sepphora, a city of Sidon, unto the woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. You see that? So there was a time over here that the healing and the manifestation of God, who Jesus Christ was, the miracles, it wasn't going on. And Jesus Christ was the one that's coming and bring that peace and all. John records his first miracle of the manifestation of his glory in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I'll be closing here very shortly. John chapter 2. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Okay? That's chapter 1. Let me go to chapter 2. Sorry. The beginnings of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So here's his first recorded manifestation of his glory. Now, the next thing here that you're looking at, numerals, and I'm going to run through this very quickly. I've got a couple minutes. Book of Matthew, the 40th book of the Bible. We already talked about that before, right? First book of the so-called New Testament. You notice I said so-called New Testament. Because until the death of the testator, there is no testament. Lord Jesus Christ did not die in the first part of Matthew. In fact, it was recorded his death in the last chapter of Matthew, last chapter of Mark, last chapter of Luke, and last two chapters of John. So, Lord Jesus Christ was still under the law. He was still doing what Moses was said to do, and a lawgiver. You're still under law. That's the transition book. We looked at that before. Matthew, we went over the book of Matthew, and it took us almost 2 years to go through it, and it's a transitional book for a kingdom over here. And everything the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to do in Matthew is going to take place over here in this kingdom. There's 28 chapters, 4 times 7, 4 of the earth, 7 protection, perfection. Perfection of the earth and the gospel of the kingdom. Mark has 16 chapters, 4 times 4, God's purpose in the earth, service of the sonship. That's Psalms chapter 8. 2 times 8, 2 witnesses. 8 is new beginnings. Testimony of the new beginnings of Israel, mankind, in chapter 1, verse 15. It's the second book of the New Testament for a witness. Luke, is the 42nd book of the Bible, a 6 times 7, perfect man. Psalms chapter 45, verse 2. Third book of the New Testament, God manifest in the flesh. 24 chapters. 2 times 12, governmental perfection brought by the second man. First man, Adam. Second man, Jesus Christ. 4 times 6, the second man of the earth. 3 times 8, God's new beginning. John is the 43rd book of the Bible. John chapter 10, verse 30, indivisible. Fourth book of the New Testament, sent into the world. 4 is the earth, right? 21 chapters, 3 times 7, perfection of God. So you can't get by with what God has put down in His Bible for us today, or for us to understand what's going on today. Now, we still have a lot to do with the four, so I'm going to end it right there. Now, one thing you got to understand that and what we're doing is understanding the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the book Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and why the kingdom's at hand. We got to understand some things that when John the Baptist was sent on this earth, he's a man sent from God. I always say this. You like baseball. I like baseball. How many strikes you get before you're out? You get 3 strikes. Politically, Israel already struck out during this time period. God got up from the mercy seat. He went to the threshold and he out in the hillside. God left Israel political. That's why they was in captivity for their sins and stuff, okay? They have never regained that popularity or that national or that leadership. They was an apostated Israel when Jesus Christ came on this scene, when John the Baptist on this scene. That's why he's calling them out, to be identified with the new nation, the little flock, to be a kingdom of priests for the King, Lord Jesus Christ, in a kingdom. What did they do to him? Cut his head off. Strike 1. Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son sent here to this earth. We have no, you just read, he came into his own received him not. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And they did. Strike 2. Then you have Stephen over here. Acts period. First part of Acts, the kingdom is offered to him. We'll get to that soon enough. Stephen looked up steadfast, the Holy Ghost. What did they do to him? Stone him. Strike 3. The nation Israel, not only did they strike out politically, they strike out here spiritually. So this, when you look at the book of Acts is a transitional book, and you should never get your doctrine out of a transitional book here. It starts out Israel, when you were again to restore the kingdom of to Israel. And it goes all the way down in Acts 28. Lo, we go into the Gentiles. So this is a transitional book, the book of Acts. And by Acts chapter 7 and 8, they start to fall. Have they stumbled that they fall? Where did they fall at? At the cross. God forbid that through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So when you look at the book of Acts and the transitional Acts, they have fallen. They're down here with us Gentiles. That's why when Peter, James, and John met Paul, and Paul said, hey, I'm over here to the Gentiles with a new message, and they agreed that Peter, James, and John would go to this little flock and stay. They didn't progress through a kingdom program. They understood what Paul was doing was a different program for the body of Christ. He's forming a body today, not a kingdom, not a nation. So when they shook hands, they said, you go to the heathen, Paul, and we'll stay to the circumcision. They didn't advance that circumcision gospel. They just established and made the little flock understand what God was doing. The kingdom is postponed here. And we're going to get into this. But the heathen is the lost Gentiles. That's why Paul went into the synagogue. He's a Jew. He's going in there. They had the word of God. He's going to get in there and show them that Jesus was the Christ. And what a lot of them do? Kicked him out. He goes in Corinth. He goes beside and starts a body of Christ church. I think people get caught up with Gentile churches. When Paul says you're neither Jew or Gentile, you're not in a Gentile church. You're in a body of Christ. And within that body of Christ, the church of God, the big church, the God that created the heaven and earth, it has the body of Christ and has the kingdom church. Okay? Here, that's the big church of God. And this is a new message here, guys. And this kingdom is postponed, that's on earth. Then you think about the catching away. You only find that in Paul's epistles. In fact, you only find about Christ being a body ahead of a church in Paul's epistles. You can't find that back over here. So why do you let people mix this up and have you over here in a church that they said it started in Acts chapter 2? By the way, there's nothing started new in Acts chapter 2. It was added to the church. So the body of Christ could not start in Acts chapter 2. It started in mid-Acts chapter 9. And the dispensation of grace. That blows a lot of people's mind. They were called out here. God goes back dealing with the nation Israel. And on this earth. And the kingdom's established. And then we have in the fullness of time, the dispensation of fullness of time. God's plan, the whole theme of your Bible, people, is about authority over a throne. From Genesis to Revelation. It's about authority over the throne of the entire universe. Not just this earthly, the entire universe. And right now, Satan is the god of this world. Okay, we live in a sin-cursed world. God is the god of this world. He's also the prince of power of the air. First and second heaven. You look out there to see the beautiful, beautiful blue skies. Satan controls that. You see up there where the stars is? Satan controls that. He's in charge of that. But the third where the heaven is, he's not up there. He's not in charge of that. But when it's all said and done, Jesus, God the Father, Jesus Christ, he hands it to Jesus. And he says, you're in charge of the earth. You're in charge of the heavens. And all of it's in Jesus Christ, the church, the big church. Okay? The God. So, with that being said, Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we continue our journey through the Bible, we hope it's enlightened the people that they can understand some things. I know we went over a lot of things that might have been just hit and miss, but we're just not taking our time, but going through, and we'll eventually be taking our time in the Word of God as we do a fundamentals of dispensationalism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Don't go out that door. Don't wait another minute if you don't know that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. And it's a heart issue. People talk about, yeah, I know. It's a heart issue. From the heart a man believes, okay? This is where you believe. You believe that he died and buried and rose for you. He seals you and saves you for eternity. That's good news. What we're going through right now, the Gentiles didn't have no good news. But I'd like to encourage you to write us or text us or call us or email us and visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch if you want to donate to the church. There's a donate button there. If you want to share some things with me, I don't argue, okay? I have in the past, but I would like to know your comments if you got a prayer request, let us know how things are going. But once again, visit us on our website, our Facebook page, and any other platform that you can get us on, okay? Until next week, God bless you.